So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
Today is June 22nd, 2022. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Got to Pennsylvania a couple days ago to Gettysburg. Feels kind of surreal here. Yes, it's like one of those places, you know, that you've heard about your entire life. You learned about in school, such a rich part of our history here. And to roll into it is pretty cool.
What year is it in Gettysburg? Right?
I'm not sure. It seems like every turn is a different year. It's pretty cool to see all of the houses and the old farms and the covered bridges. We've got some covered bridges mapped out that we're going to go to, and Jack's a amateur ghost hunter, so we're going to go to some haunted covered bridges. So we're pretty excited to be here.
That's pretty awesome.
What about you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm good. You know, I grew up in Williamsburg, Virginia, and it's always 1776 in Williamsburg. At least in part of that town anyways, they've got the restored area, Colonial Williamsburg. So they, you know, we always had like a bunch of my friends were in the fife and drum corps. And so they would dress up in costume and march down the street and do that all summer long. So Gettysburg, do they have a restored kind of period timepiece kind of stuff there too? I feel like they would.
They do. I haven't got to see it yet. We get here and I get right to work usually. So we will be going out and seeing everything on Saturday and Sunday. And so I'll report back. But from my research I've done, there's a lot of cool stuff to see. And of course, the national park, we will spend lots of time there on Saturday. So it will be really cool to see all that stuff and what a great road school lesson in itself.
Yeah, no doubt. Cool community there, I bet. And communities is kind of what I wanted to talk about today. I like communities. How about you? You like communities?
I do like communities, but tell me what you're thinking about communities.
Well, it's interesting because I think today there's kind of two kind of basic types of communities. There's in real life or IRL communities, and then there's online communities. And they're really obviously different, but I think they're both, they have a lot of interesting sort of similarities and characteristics. And I think they both have, can be the jumping off place of a lot of 21st century solutions.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk about this because this is why we started the podcast.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about the obvious first. You know, you've got communities in sort of the general sense, or we can just call them IRL for the sake of this conversation. So in real life, you've got a community that is a bunch of people who live in basically the same place. But what I think is interesting is that a community can kind of self-select its own geographical size or boundaries. So, you know, maybe it's a neighborhood or a borough or a city, county, but it doesn't have to be any one of those specifically. But I think it's more like an affinity for a place. You know, so you can get that sense of identity for place within that. And people, they live together, they live nearby, they play together, they go to school together, their kids go to school together, they've got the same weather, the same soil, the same water. And they've got a sense of place and a sense of history and language and accent and all that good stuff. So It seems like there's just so much in common, but then you still have differences within a community, right? And different groups of people, you know, still associate with each other, but they sort of share that common bound of nearness. And, you know, a community can create its own things. It creates its own food, its own local businesses. They cheer for their own sports teams. And that's really powerful, I think, in terms of understanding, you know, people can wrap their heads around maybe what's good for the community and what the community needs and how that be a jumping off point for solutions.
Absolutely. Yes. I grew up in a very tight knit community, by area. And it's very interesting to watch it grow over the last 30 years and become, you know, lots of communities within communities. There's lots of communities within communities, you know, and as towns and areas get older, they start to have more communities within those communities, which is fun to see and experience.
Yeah, because it gets back to that thing. You get to kind of decide what your community is, and whether it's your neighborhood or the whole city, or whether it's a part of town, or, you know, the old west side. But then you've also got online communities, and that's sort of a much newer phenomenon these days. But I think it mirrors a lot of the same things that you get in an IRL community, but the difference is that people are coming together around an interest, whether it's like a hobby or a belief or a culture. So you might get people from all walks of life, all different places, even different parts of the globe. Maybe it's within the same country, maybe it's not. But it can still begin to have that same affinity or sense of place. It can still have a sense of culture. It can develop a sense of history over time and can have ideas about sort of where to go forward and how to move forward and how to create solutions. So I think these online communities are also very powerful places.
And they are growing every day. I feel like every time I get online, there's new opportunity to join a online community, you know, rather that be a book club or a mommy group or a weight loss group or a health group. You know, there's different communities, you know, myself being celiac, there's a lot of celiac communities out there. That's been a great resource for me because those people, you know, they're deprived of their flour and goodness just like I am.
And you need to swap recipes, don't you?
Yes, exactly.
Because you need to eat cookies too.
Yes, exactly. And we need to know which one of the replacement flours is the best, because let me tell you, they are not all created equally.
That's right. And so you get to sort of trade that experience and give each other advice and things like that too.
Yes.
But then I think there's sort of a dark side to community too that sometimes comes around. It seems like sometimes communities get toxic. And I think that's often when it's becoming at the exclusion of the people outside of the community, you know, or when there's individuals who are not sort of exactly towing the party line of exactly what the community expects. And so the dynamics inside the community get thrown off. That's certainly something to be careful of and aware of. You ever seen that happen?
Oh, absolutely. In both kinds of communities, you know, I think that we even touched on this a bit in last week's podcast episode with your dad, that, you know, groups of people with similar lifestyles and beliefs, if you just stay in that community and you aren't getting outside perspective, can become toxic to your health and your family and your sanity. So, you know, getting outside of your community also, whatever that looks like for you, is important to get different perspective and get around the people who maybe are not exactly like you or don't think the exact same way as you do is important as well as finding those people who can be there as someone who is in a similar situation as you or in a similar area as you. And same with online, you know, you can get into a community where everybody has the same ideas and beliefs as you do. And then if someone within that group voices other opinions or, you know, their new age ideas, whatever that may look like or mean, it can turn to a toxic environment when you've got too many people thinking the same way.
Yeah, well, that's when your community is starting to act more like a bubble, when you get sort of stuck in that bubble where you don't see or interact with the outside and don't know what's happening on the outside. Things look different and get distorted when you're looking through that bubble instead of sort of interacting with more and new and different people.
Yep, exactly.
So what I think, it would be great if we, over the course of time, were to find and look at and talk about many examples of community-based 21st century solutions. And so you and I get to introduce and let the world know today through our podcast that that's our intention, is to find and get many examples of these and highlight them on the podcast.
Yes, exactly. We're excited to bring new ideas and communities to light for people who may not know about them.
And we've got one teed up for today. So the first one that we'd like to talk about is actually an online community, a website called Energy Sage. And energysage.com is a pretty amazing website, actually. They have been around for quite a few years, and it has really evolved into a marketplace for solar. And I know that you have used Energy Sage also. What do you think? Have you found that to be useful in your work recently?
Yes, absolutely. So I use Energy Sage. You know, when we hear from new contractors, I'm able to go find them on Energy Sage and get real life reviews from people who have used those contractors and their experiences with them, because the people that have had those experiences with them are going to be similar to our members who come to Easy Solar Loan for loans, are going to have similar experiences. So I want to make sure that we're partnering with someone who is getting good reviews and good feedback on Energy Sage. And I know that our members go there to look for those things as well when they're out searching for what solar could look like for them. They are a wealth of knowledge on other items as well, as like how much you should be paying for solar within your community, because solar can be differently priced in a lot of the areas around the country. So it's a great place to go and make sure that, you know, you're getting a quote unquote good deal. And that things are reasonably priced as they should be for your geographic area. So it's a great way for me to make sure that we, our members are getting good contracts and fair prices as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Energy Sage is basically set up as a resource. And let's say that you are interested in solar. You know, you haven't done too much with it. If you're brand new to the topic, you can hit that website and energysage.com. You can look at basics about solar in terms of learning how the technology works, what the system looks like, what the different pieces of a system are. You can also search for your area, sort of put in your zip code. They have a bunch of tools online that allow you to look at your own home and your own layout of the land and get just a really quick initial sort of sense of what the solar system might generate based on like the size of your roof. There's a lot of different companies, a lot of different groups have tools like this, but what's nice is that you can get on there and just do it really quickly. Energy Sage also has a whole online directory of the community solar opportunities. So if you go on there, like let's say that you don't even own your home right now, even if you're a renter, you can look and see if there are community solar projects in your area and with your utility that you might be able to buy into and be a part of. But then Energy Sage really leans into the notions of online community that we're talking about. So if you're interested in solar and, you know, if you've already gotten solar, you can come and write reviews or comments about the company that you used. You can also, the solar companies can put in case studies, and you can put in case studies about your own home, talk about the success that you've had. And, you know, Energy Sage will even help you to get competitive bids through their platform for different from different solar companies that are within their network, and also different lenders. And of course, Easy Solar Loan is one of the lenders that are on the platform there. And many of the solar companies, contractors that are on our network are also in the Energy Sage network too. So, you know, we definitely get a good number of people coming to us who, you know, sort of found us through that site and are interested. So it's a really great resource, and there are kind of many different things that you can learn from it and many different ways you can use it. So we definitely recommend it.
I know that they've been an invaluable resource to me as I learned about solar. You know, I came in to Easy Solar. Well, we weren't even Easy Solar Loan yet. We were just a community credit union looking to offer solar loans in the Pacific Northwest. And Energy Sage taught me a lot about solar. You know, if there's something that I didn't understand, I could go to their website and there would be a blog post about it, or just a page referring to, you know, how storage works, and you know, how PV works, and how watts to kilowatt hours works, and all of those things that a lot of people just really don't know, because it's not just basic knowledge that you're taught in school. So, you know, as solar grows and becomes more popular, I think more people will be looking to communities like Energy Sage to help them navigate the world of becoming their own power producer and in backup storage and all of those things that the world's just becoming more keen to.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell that your cats agree 100%.
Yes. There was a spring storm today, so all of my kids were inside, and now they all just went outside. And the cat says, I also want to go outside. This is not fair.
Does the cat go outside, or does the cat only live inside?
He goes outside occasionally on a harness, but he's also a Houdini, and so we don't let him go out in that harness very often. Harnesses are not safe for cats because they are just built for slinking.
You don't see too many people out taking their cats for a walk.
No, you really don't. So we try to keep him inside as much as possible. As you can tell, he's not a huge fan of that, especially not right this minute.
There's a cat in our neighborhood that has kind of half adopted us. Beautiful cat, has like a tortoise shell coloration, and she just likes to meow like that and then like walks around the block with us for a little ways. We're not completely sure where she lives because I think she lives in several places.
Yeah, she has found her community.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. She's nice enough to let us live in her community too.
That's right.
But she's obviously very well taken care of. She's got like this beautiful coat, so not worried about her not having loving parents in one of the houses in our neighborhood.
She's just not particular to one house.
That's right.
Just like we don't have to be particular to one community. You can be join so many different communities that, you know, I find myself, like I was saying earlier, I'm a part of multiple online communities. I've got a mom and dad support group if dads want to join it. You know, and I've talked before about our full-time RV community, which has been really inspirational to me to see other families living the same lifestyle as us. And then I've got a community of bereaved mothers, which is not a community anybody ever wants to find themselves in, but finding your community of other bereaved mothers is very powerful when you are a grieving mother and looking to, you know, just hear that you're normal and that you, you know, that your thoughts are have gone through other people's heads, and you know that you're not alone. That's one of the most powerful things about communities, is that they can so easily grab you up and make you feel instantly that you're not alone. And a lot of people need that, especially during the hard times of life that you get thrown sometimes. So I've definitely been able to find a community, several communities online that have lifted me up and really changed my life, which might sound kind of corny, but it is the truth that their communities and finding the right one for you that you feel comfortable in and like is a positive influence in your life is really important if you're at home, to not feel isolated.
No, I think that's really true. It's a way to push back against that isolation. And communities like you're describing are made up of actual people. Even if you're communicating online, there's real people behind those. You know, it's when you compare that to just sort of the mass social media kind of experiences, you have to wonder how many of those supposedly people are bots. How many of those people are you know, interacting with you either mechanically or because they want to sell you something, or because they want to influence your thinking. But I think when we sort of get into real life, actual communities, whether they're online or IRL, that's when we can begin to, we can continue to interact as humans instead of just being influenced and, you know, consumers. Instead, we're, you know, actually thinking things through and actually commenting on them and actually addressing and thinking through situations as they come, instead of just performing the way that people or the system sort of tell us that we should.
Yes. And I think through COVID, online communities are really what kept a lot of people going. A lot of new communities popped up during COVID. You know, you've got your support from your school district, or, you know, all of a sudden you're reconnecting with people that you hadn't talked to in years because you all of a sudden have the time to do it. I think you alluded to that recently on a podcast episode as well, that, you know, you can do so much through an online community these days that, you know, when the Spanish influenza was out, you did not have those opportunities. You were stuck in your home, rather, you know, even if it was a home inside your own community, you definitely weren't open the door to those communities. So we're really lucky that we got dealt that hand in a time that we could keep those human connections with people outside of our homes, even if it be online.
Yeah, I mean, the internet connections were really lousy 100 years ago. It was like really slow. You had to like tap it. It like
didn't exist.
Oh, right. Well, thank goodness they exist today. And yes. I look forward to finding many different examples that we can talk about of solutions coming out of communities.
Me too. I'm sure we will find some great ones to share.
Fantastic. Well, hey, we will talk to you soon. Have a good one.
You too.